Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Listen to Philosophy Talk every Tuesday at noon on KSJE 90.9 FM, Farmington. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Monday morning, the 8th day of April, 2024. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air right here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast all the time at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet, you can always tune us in by going to our website. That's ksje.com. I also want to welcome our viewers this morning who are joining us. Video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So welcome aboard, everyone. I'm so glad that you are with us, because coming up in the next few moments this morning, we are learning all about volunteer opportunities at San Juan Regional Medical Center. There are many of them, and many folks who are already volunteering. We'll learn more about them as well. Stay tuned for that conversation. It begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE Today. Then later on this hour, I'll be checking in with Lewis Campbell from Synergy Computer Systems. We talk technology every Monday at 8:50 a.m. That is coming up later on this hour right here on KSJE. Then Mick Hess will take over the studio, our Roving with the Arts program, classical music beginning after the news at 9:06. And don't forget, we invite you to go to ksje.com/tickets. It's a chance to register for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming show. This time, we are giving away tickets to Scrap Arts Music's performance here on San Juan College campus, Saturday, April 13th, Children of Metropolis. Sign up for a chance to win tickets. It is a family-friendly show at 4 o'clock this Saturday afternoon at the Henderson Performance Center. Don't forget also, you can connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and our Instagram pages. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe to KSJE Podcasts, and they're available in all the places where you're probably already listening to a podcast, places like iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio Podcasts, and more. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is a mostly cloudy Monday morning, temperature 33 degrees, and we're expecting a mostly cloudy day today. That could impact some partial eclipse viewing around the lunch hour today. 52 for a high in Farmington. Partly cloudy skies tonight, the low 37. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies on Tuesday with a high of 61. More sunshine on Wednesday, the high 63. 66 by Thursday. Sunshine and 74 by Friday. Maybe around 70 degrees on Saturday, back into the 60s for Sunday, and mid-50s on Monday. So spring is trying to warm up just a little bit. I'll be back with my guests and more from San Juan Regional Medical Center right after this on KSJE. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The most important ingredients to sustaining health and wellness are the resources and tools that help you live a vibrant and healthy life. At San Juan Regional Medical Center, the goal is to promote health by making sure those resources are available. Find the path to the best life at lifebetterhere.com. San Juan Regional Medical Center. Better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. KSJE is proud to support the Farmington Jazz Festival, Saturday, April 13th in downtown Farmington, featuring the Julia Keefe Trio, Delbert Anderson Quartet, Indigene Femme, and more at 3 p.m. in Orchard Park Plaza. Headliners will also appear at a workshop from noon to 2 p.m. at the Inspired Moments Event Center. The event will also honor Native musician and band leader Jacob C. Morgan with a special ceremony at 2:45 p.m. The Farmington Jazz Festival, Saturday, April 13th.
KSJE is supported by the 28th Annual Durango Bluegrass Meltdown, April 19th, 20th, and 21st in Durango, Colorado. This year, the Meltdown features Missy Raines and Allegheny, Seth Mulder and Midnight Run, East Nash Grass, and Damn Tall Buildings. Tickets and passes are available at Animus Trading Company and online. Find out more at DurangoMeltdown.com. The 28th Annual Durango Bluegrass Meltdown, April 19th through the 21st.
And back in Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, from San Juan Regional Medical Center, Teresa Becker is back. She is the volunteer manager with San Juan Regional Medical Center. Good morning and welcome back to KSJE. It's always good to see you.
Good morning.
And this is a special week of the month for you, correct?
Getting close. It's actually next week.
But next week.
We're
okay.
Celebrating Volunteer Week.
So got you.
Kind of spread it out.
That's true. Well, good to have you here. Thank you very much. Also joining us this morning, Stephanie Byram is here. She is the president of the San Juan Regional Auxiliary. Good morning and welcome to KSJE. Nice to see you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here as well. And so, Teresa, let me come back and start with you a little bit about the volunteer program at the hospital. You and I have talked about this, I think, every April for a long time. We won't admit just how long, perhaps, but it's been a long time. But it really is a program that really helps the hospital keep running, because you have a lot of volunteers and a lot of jobs that really do a lot of tasks that are necessary at the hospital, right?
Absolutely. Our volunteers are there to help provide service and kind of take a little bit of the load off of our caregivers. And so that's just been a longstanding tradition and very beneficial. We couldn't do it without the volunteers.
Right. About how many do you have on duty currently?
Currently, we have 111 active members. And I would say they're there an average of 4 hours a week.
Gotcha. Some a little more, some a little less.
Right.
Right. And what is that about average that you have? Are you down a little bit or up a little bit? What would you say compared to other years?
We're down a little compared to pre-COVID.
Okay.
And someday we'll get to quit saying that. But
right.
I would say, considering everything that went on, because we had to kind of start from scratch and rebuild, and we had several come back, but we did lose several that chose not to come back after COVID. So we're blessed, really. We kind of take the pulse from auxiliaries around the state, and a lot of them are still struggling, and so we're happy to have this number.
Right, very good. What number would it be to be fully staffed? Is there such a number? Do you know what
there
that is?
There is not such a number.
Okay.
I think even in our highs, I think I want to say 135 was the highest number I can remember. We are still actively adding, because it does take a lot of people. For instance, at the information desk, we are there 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. And so if they're doing 2 to 4 hour shifts, it takes a lot of people.
Just for that.
For that service.
And there's more than that, certainly, that are the volunteers are helping. That's
right.
That's for sure.
Right.
Stephanie Byram, let me come to you as leader of the auxiliary, president of the auxiliary, and ask you a bit about that membership. So these are all members that are volunteers at the hospital and dedicate some hours of their time to come in and do certain jobs around the hospital?
Yes. They, on average, we have people that volunteer for shifts. They can do 2 hour shifts, they can do 4 hour shifts, whatever works for their schedule. And then they can work in quite a few different areas in the hospital. We have the gift market, crafts. We have some ladies that are really talented in sewing. We have the information desk that you mentioned, clerical work, mail service, reception areas, plant maintenance, and spiritual care.
Got you. You not only are the president of the auxiliary, you have done some of these jobs as well as a volunteer, right?
Yes, I have.
How long have you been volunteering at the hospital?
So I have volunteered about 15 years, somewhere in there. And I've really enjoyed it. It has been just so fun to be part of the community, helping our hospital, and just meeting wonderful volunteers and the employees at the hospital.
Right. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand, it may not just be you, because it might be in your genes a little bit, because I think your family has also been volunteers at the hospital. Tell me a bit about that.
Yes. So when my parents moved here about 20 years ago, they wanted to get involved in the community, and so my mom started volunteering first, and then she suggested to my dad and to me that we might be interested in volunteering. So we thought, okay. My dad was a little more hesitant because he's really hands-on and is good with woodworking and welding and mechanical things.
Right.
And he thought, where am I going to fit into this? You know, because he's thinking clerical. And but anyway, Teresa does a really good job of fitting people where their gifts are. And so she said, I think we could get you in plant maintenance. And so he's been in that, really enjoys it. My mom was in the gift market for many years, loved that. And then my sons, I had two sons who were able to volunteer, and they were in biomedical and also plant maintenance.
Wow.
And they really enjoyed it.
Right, mm-hmm. Quite a variety.
Yes.
And quite a lot of hours from your family to volunteering.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. Teresa Becker, you and I talked a little bit about the hours and what that equates to. And actually, mm-hmm. I made you do the math. And thank you for doing that, of how much that volunteerism from everyone's family contributes to a savings at the hospital budget, I guess. Because if you didn't have those volunteers, you'd have to have staff people doing these jobs.
Correct. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Our total number of hours served this year was 11,000 hours, which is slightly lower than normal. We're getting people back into the habit of submitting their time and that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. we're very proud of that and appreciate all their contributions. The Point of Light Foundation provides an annual rate, the
right.
value of a volunteer, basically.
Sure.
So this year's rate is $31.80. And when they calculate that, they are calculating not only a base rate, but also the
maybe benefits, if they were a full-time person.
Right,
sure.
Right, whatever okay. that total cost would be.
Yeah.
So that total number is $349,800 in savings for us. And they're priceless, really. That's our famous saying.
Right.
But we really appreciate that contribution.
Very much so. Well, and from all the different jobs that Stephanie was talking about that her family has been involved with, I mean, mm-hmm. that's a pretty wide variety of things. When we think, maybe when most people think about volunteering at the hospital, they think about maybe that information desk or delivering the mail or working at the gift shop or gift market, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many other opportunities, too, if someone comes to you and says, well, I don't know if I like those tasks, but what else you got? And
mm-hmm.
Plant maintenance, things like that. Now, that's not maybe a green thumb. That's more like physical plant maintenance, I'm assuming, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. He's very gifted, and he's always looking for other folks to join us. So that is a nice feature that a lot of our volunteers, by word of mouth, get their friends and family members to come join us, too. So we'll take anybody interested. So they
there
do go through a vetting process, and they would need to apply first, and they can do that through the old-fashioned paper application, or they can go online to the hospital website and
that gets the process
there.
Started, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I know, too, you've got a pretty robust training program, don't you, a little bit, for your volunteers once they go through that process and are ready to be placed and to understand kind of what the hospital does and all the inner workings, because it's a pretty, I don't want to say complicated, but a lot of moving parts to run a hospital, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of other employees there and how to mesh with the volunteers. That's important to know.
Yes, very much so. We do train them on general hospital rules and regs. Of course, that exists because we need to protect not only our patients, but our caregivers and our volunteers. And so we give them that basic information, so infection control, HIPAA, just all the general stuff.
Patient privacy things, all
exactly.
that stuff. Exactly.
It's pretty important.
And yes.
then we actually train them beyond that, kind of hands-on training on their specific role that
gotcha.
They're going to be doing.
Right. And Stephanie Byram, I want to come back mm-hmm. to you and ask you about, you mentioned your children and that they were doing some volunteering as well. Did that kind of coincide with some of their studies or some of their career options that they'd like to do, or was it just something that they thought was interesting?
Well, kind of a couple things.
Okay.
They were a little younger, so they were not able to get a summer job Gotcha. Teens can start when they're 14, but mm-hmm. you know, you can't really go get a job when you're 14. So it's just a good fit for teenagers to learn something. And then, you know, my kids are engineers, both of my boys. And so biomedical was a good fit for them. And then the plant maintenance, that was...
Well, for an engineer, I can imagine.
Yes, that's another good area.
Right.
Yep.
How does that work? And let's fix that or figure out how to repair it. Yeah.
And they actually were able to, you know, trail along with my dad and did some projects with him. So.
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. And that's something, I guess, Teresa Becker, that families can do maybe if they want to bring younger people in and have it maybe more of a family event or effort to volunteer, and you work with them to place them maybe together at different shifts or what have you?
Yes, absolutely. Although I have to say, for the adult couples, most of the time they want to be on separate shifts and sometimes
separate
days.
Well, we won't go into that, but okay, that's another show.
It's kind of cute. They need a little break, but okay. But we do have people, you know, due to transportation or whatever, we will accommodate whatever we can to schedule them together. We have a set of twins volunteering now, and so they're carpooling, so
right.
It's kind of fun.
Very good. And for young people that maybe are interested in the medical field, maybe it's nursing, maybe it's something else, I mean, is this a good, I don't want to say foot in the door, because they're not necessarily doing nursing work, but they're certainly mm-hmm. working amongst nurses or doctors or others in certain positions at the hospital that are volunteers. Is that kind of what you see when young people maybe come to apply with you, of what
yes,
they're looking to do?
Absolutely. We currently have 57 teen volunteers.
Wow.
We're fixing to lose quite a few of them because they're graduating high school, but moving
stop growing up, you kids.
Off to college. But it's very exciting because most of them are pursuing healthcare careers.
Okay.
So that's good for us.
We
want to be the pipeline to help build the future of healthcare and get people interested in that field. So when they're coming to us at 14, 15, 16, they're kind of getting their feet wet, checking things out, and they might have an interest, and that either solidifies their interest or it might take them in another direction. It might still be healthcare related, but they, I was just reading all of our scholarship applicant essays, and many of them said, when I started volunteering, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do as a career path, but now I absolutely know, and they attribute a large portion of that to their volunteer experience.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to another question to ask you, mm-hmm. too. You mentioned scholarships, and I know that is one of the things that you pride yourself in being able to offer to some of your younger mm-hmm. volunteers and things like that. And so talk to me a bit about mm-hmm. that program and how that works.
Well, that's the beauty of what we do, and it's a very exciting time of year. We try to coordinate that with the Volunteer Week and do the awards, and that's a big part of Stephanie's role as education chairman. And so we will be meeting actually this week to make the final selection and award scholarship money. We vary the amount every year. Part of it is how much we've done with fundraising, but at the minimum, we award a $5,000 scholarship and then a $1,000 scholarship that are kind of established in a set number. But we've been able to really contribute a lot to that. I didn't collect the number of the total teen. Wasn't it $250,000 since 2011?
Oh,
something,
wow.
Something along those lines.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
So it was, once we saw that collective number, it was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
It used to be, I hate to say an afterthought, but it was just that one $5,000 scholarship, and that was it. But then our teen program began building more and more and more, and a lot of the schools are part of the reason why we have the teens come to us, because they're requiring volunteer hours. And that's awesome for our community.
Win-win, it sounds like to me.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Stephanie Byram, let me come back to you a little bit about the auxiliary's part in all this. And Teresa mentioned fundraising, and that's how you get the dollars to be able to do scholarships and other things, which we'll talk about too, for the hospital, but that comes from events that you have throughout the year. And I think the gift market too provides some funds for the auxiliary, correct?
Yes, that's correct. The gift market is our main fundraiser, and we've been having some pretty good sales, and I would like to give a plug out to the community. We have some great product in the gift shop, and if you come to the hospital, just stop in and see what we have. We'd be happy to have your business.
Right. Well, there's a lot of unique things, I think, that you wouldn't find, and maybe if you're not visiting a patient and buying something for a patient, but maybe it's somebody's birthday or anniversary or what have you, you might be surprised of the selection that you find at the gift market.
That's correct. And even during the holidays, we have some really, really great Christmas items, so people might want to stop in for that too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when they're spending the money that they're spending, some of it goes to help things like we're talking about, like these scholarships,
yes,
right?
Yes, the scholarships, the educational assistance program, and then the hospital equipment.
Right, mm-hmm. All those things. And so the scholarships are one thing. This the hospital assistance program, talk to me about that. Mm-hmm. What's that all about?
The educational assistance?
Pardon me. Yes, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. What happens with that is this is available to not only our employees, but it's open to community members who may be pursuing a career in healthcare.
Okay.
So something that would benefit the hospital. And it doesn't even have to be clinical. But our goal is if we can assist them, they come to work at the hospital, then they don't have to repay any of that money. We pay up to $1,000 per semester for those folks. And we did calculate this number. Since 2004, we've assisted 96 people for a total of $653,000.
Wow.
So we're proud of that. Yeah. And that's another function of the education committee to review those applicants and award those funds.
Right. And Stephanie, you serve on that committee as well?
Yes, I do. We review the applications that come in and award the money, make sure people are on track with the right classes that they're taking.
Right.
And we're just, we're thrilled to be able to help people reach their educational goals.
Right. I would think many of your recipients, if not all, are thrilled to get that assistance to help them with their goals and their mm-hmm. education. So it's got to be somewhat life-changing for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it is. I think we've had some people who've been able to go back to get, advance their degrees mm-hmm. in nursing. We've had physical therapists go back.
Nurse practitioners.
It's been a very good program.
Nice. Very good. And you mentioned, too, the equipment purchases as well. And I wanted to ask you both about that. And can you give me some examples of some of the pieces of equipment that you've been able to provide to the hospital through these funds?
Yes. We have been able to, in the last 5 years, mm-hmm. For a total, we've given $170,773. Specifically, a few of those things have been pediatric, the sofas in the pediatric unit.
There was a big remodel of the whole floor, right? So you're talking several sofas, not just one or two.
Yes, we were able to give for that. Light source and processing tower for endoscopy, that was $30,000. We've did a Stryker big wheel stretcher for endoscopy, that was almost $7,000. Another $6,000 for echocardiography bed, $31,000 towards a community van, and the list goes on.
Right.
Yeah.
Lots of things.
Yes.
And these are things, I guess, that maybe come up during the year or outside of the normal budgeting process that you get a request for or just able to provide to these departments. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Yeah. Basically, our leaders in the hospital will come to us. They submit capital request items. And we tend to sponsor or fund some of the smaller dollar amounts, if you can believe that. But,
$30,000. But if you say so. But I know other hospital equipment's a lot more than that.
Yes.
So, yes, I hear you.
Yeah, they're replacing the MRI right now, and I don't even remember the number for that. But we couldn't touch that one.
Right.
And so, they have a process where they submit their request to us. we get some information. Our senior leadership is kind of involved in that process to make sure they feel like it's in alignment with all the other capital request needs, and we go from there.
Gotcha. And do you try to spread it around the departments a little bit, or it just depends on how the requests come in, I suppose, from year to year?
We used to try to do that. Once again, COVID, we had to back off a little bit on that, but we're hoping more and more requests will come in now. But we do try to spread it around if we can, instead of just funding all one department or area for the entire time, because every department is going to have needs.
Sure, that's very true. My guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center, we are talking about volunteerism at the hospital, volunteer opportunities, and to kind of just have a few minutes remaining this morning, both of you, but I wanted to ask for potential volunteers who are watching us this morning or listening to us this morning. What would you say? Who's the perfect candidate to be a hospital volunteer, Teresa Becker? Your elevator speech.
We love people who are enthusiastic, energetic, positive, just want to give back. And most people that come to us, that's their number one thing. I want to help this community or this hospital and give back and help people. And so we want to foster that. So anybody that will also commit to, we know you can't necessarily be there every single week, but we'll try to have a fairly consistent schedule and good communication. But with the teens, a lot of them are so young, we are actually helping them build those skills and customer service, just accountability, those kinds of things. So it's actually very, very good for them. They come out of their shell. Some of them are super shy, and when they're graduating, they're very outgoing. So that's been fun.
Nice to see. That's true. And about how many hours a week do you try to schedule folks for? 4 hours a week.
Yep.
It doesn't seem too difficult.
No.
It's for people to make that commitment, I mean, too. So very
Hopefully
good.
Hopefully not.
Right. Stephanie Byram, same kind of question to you. You've been a volunteer. Your family's been a volunteer. You've seen the volunteers come in. What makes for a good hospital volunteer, would you say? What characteristics, qualities?
Oh, just giving back to the community, selfless service, and just having fun together and being in a community of you know, like-minded people. I think it's a good environment.
Very good. We've talked a bit about the training, I know, and I think there are a lot of other events throughout the year that you try to do for your volunteers as a way to celebrate them and thank them for their service. So it's not just showing up 4 hours a week and going home. It's a lot more of a community, it seems to me, that you join when you become a volunteer at the hospital.
Yes, it really is a big family, and we do celebrate. That's my favorite time of the year, to do our annual brunch that's become a tradition now, and celebrate them for their years of service, their hours of service, a lot of the achievements, just, you know, give back to them, show appreciation. And they really enjoy that brunch.
I bet they do. Who wouldn't?
I do too.
Who wouldn't? That's right. Yeah. Exactly. But that's wonderful. And I think maybe some are surprised to learn how many hours they've accrued over the years of service when they have been volunteering at the hospital. And you add them all up, and they become maybe honored at some of these events as well.
Definitely.
So that's great. Very good. Well, thank you both for coming in this morning and talking with me about the volunteer opportunities at the hospital in advance of Volunteer Week. Good luck next week and happy celebrations.
Thank you.
And folks, if they want more information, they can go on the website. What's the best way to get an application or call you? What would you say?
Yep, they can call me at 505-609-6156 or the hospital website and just look for volunteer opportunities. It does have information, but also our volunteer application. And we would love to hear from you.
Okay, we'll get them signed up. There you go.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Teresa Becker, Stephanie Byram. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. My guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center with me here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.